It's episode 51 of the Canes Cast. Into the Web's Michael Smith. There's a lot of renovation going on here at PNC Arena. You know what that means?
What's that?
There's so much more room for activities.
Yes, so much more room. It's like putting up bunk beds.
Well, we found out there's a good 35 feet above the Canes locker room of space where we can build whatever we want. They're not going to let me and you build it.
No.
I think the team is going to have more of a say. Probably a players' lounge.
It'd be questionably, structured questionably, for sure, if we built it.
I don't know. I can swing a hammer.
Yeah? I wouldn't know where to start.
I would have to ask if Marty, my father, came down and built it, it'd be up to code.
Yeah. It's have you been down there to see it?
Oh yes, I have. And I've also seen the tour you took us on.
Yeah, I don't think pictures can really, or even video can really do it justice, just how much room there is above like the existing ceiling. There's just as the lower level goes up, you just gain so much space in that locker room. So it'll be interesting to see what the Hurricanes do with that space. Of course, renovations going on now, knocking down some walls, opening the space up a bit, flip-flopping where the players' lounge is, where the coaches' offices are, and then
giving a little bit more room for the workout area for the players. That's going to be a big thing.
Just becoming one sort of open concept sort of space, very modern. And then potentially next summer or beyond, exploring what the Hurricanes could do with the second floor. That obviously couldn't be done in the 2 months the team has to finish the renovations this summer, but the possibilities there. Lots to consider. I mean, you'd have to move HVAC. You'd have to there's a lot of stuff you'd have to consider.
So basically a lot of moving parts and parts that you'd have to build up and bring up to code for what you need to do. But why are we talking about renovations in PNC Arena? Because that's a big thing for hockey teams now, and for pro sports teams now. It becomes that arms race. I don't know how much you pay attention to it, Michael, but I do. You see some of the locker rooms that college football teams have, and it's insane. I would never want to leave if I was a player. And that's one of the things that you need to do now. You need to create that environment for the athletes, for players. And I know that some people roll their eyes when they hear this, but if you give them a place where – hey, we want you to be here. We want you to hang out. We want you guys to, you know, put your work in here. It starts to build more camaraderie. It starts to build some teamwork. The guys like playing for that organization. And when we talk about things like free agency or players needing to re-sign or stay, those are all factors in it. And I mean, let's face it, we've seen some people move this offseason because they didn't like the situation that they were having to live, work, play in. And the more you can create an environment where athletes want to be, you see your team get better. I mean, that is an A plus B equals C equation for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing in college sports, having the facilities to lure potential recruits to your school. And it's becoming a thing in the pros, too, having that state-of-the-art facility to attract players, like Pittsburgh's new practice rink that we've been to that's phenomenal. Boston has a great practice rink. I haven't been to that. I don't know if you have or not, but you can you pass it on the highway going into the city. Looks great. Edmonton's new facility with the arena, the locker room that they
have.
Detroit's new facility. It's just having the best facility that you can. And the Hurricanes have done and the Centennial Authority has done a commendable job in upkeeping an arena that's going on 20 years old. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that this arena, which opened in 1999, is still in as good a shape as it is. And that's a credit.
And we've been around the league. We can tell you it is ahead of a lot of buildings that were built at that same time.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible, really. Some buildings that you see that were built in the mid-90s or so that just look like they're from, you know, the 70s or something. So the Hurricanes are working to upgrade the facilities here in the locker room. And like you said, it's about building a space where players get excited about coming to. And, of course, as a hockey player, you're excited coming to the rink each and every day. But if you can build a space that they want to come to
and stay,
stick around in, it's the same concept that that tech companies used. I visited Microsoft's campus in Bellevue. One of my buddies works there, and it's incredible, the whole campus that they build out there. It's essentially a college-like campus
it's
where you can live.
It's what ESPN did with Bristol.
Yeah.
It was a studio in the middle of nowhere, and then they built it up to, like what you said, it becomes a college campus where you have a workout facility and
where you can do everything
pool tables
you need to
and
do.
Everything you need to do and
exactly.
Picking places to hang around, and that's
that
I
makes
think a big part.
Yeah, it makes employees want to come and not only work but do everything else they would do otherwise away from work. So that's the trend in sports right now is upgrading your facilities to be top of the line, building out really an all-inclusive space for your athletes to train, to work, and to become, as you said, build that team bonding aspect to where you have guys hanging out not only on the ice, not only in the room, but in whatever else they're doing in these facilities.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for to kind of make that happen, and we can throw out all of those bougie terms that you hear at business conferences where we need to start thinking outside the box. And if we all pull on the same rope
and extrapolate
get the cohesiveness that we need. But it's one of those things where you cannot force chemistry.
Right.
You can't do it. It's something that has to happen. But if you create an environment where players are going to stay and talk to each other a little longer instead of, all right, I put my work in, I'm going to go put my clothes on and go home. Hey, you want to play pool? Do you play pool? Do you play ping pong? You've got more room, something that's comfortable to hang out in. That's, I can tell you, I worked at some radio stations where the second that I could leave, I would leave because you just wanted to go home. It wasn't a great environment. Then I worked at other places, you know, the more modern ones where you have more amenities. You hang around a little while longer. You talk to your coworkers a little bit more. So that's why this is a big thing. And as Michael said, it's too late, I think, for the second floor. As you tried to point that out, hey, look at all of this space, so much more room for activities.
So much more room.
I mean, we could go out to the garage and do karate afterwards if we really felt like it.
Yep. People can become best friends.
Exactly. I'll even show you my Randy Jackson autograph. But at the same time, little too late to do anything with that space. But now there's another layer that can be added into this room, in this building. And again, the building's in great shape. It's one of the better rinks to come to in the league, and I think that you want to get a little bit more of that environment that you create, and all of a sudden you become a team because you're hanging out a little bit more.
And even if you don't add the second floor, even if the Hurricanes don't choose to go that direction for, you know, whatever reason, and there'll be plenty of steps that go into assessing the feasibility of it and all that, but you could still at least blow out the ceiling, make the ceiling a little taller. I think NC State basketball did that with their locker room. I believe they have an elevated ceiling in their room. So what it does is just open up options. And the Hurricanes, this is sort of step one of the renovations they've envisioned. It is a tight timeline because training camp does start in the middle of September. The Hurricanes host a preseason game not even a week after training camp begins. So there is a bit of a hard deadline to get the project done. But crews are busy just tearing down walls, brick walls, concrete. There's a whole bunch of real unnecessary walls, and the ultimate goal is to just open it up, make it one sort of more open concept, modern space. They're flipping, if anyone's ever been inside the Hurricanes locker room, the coaches' offices used to be on the south side. Those are moving to the north side of the locker room. Where the players' lounge used to be, the players' lounge is relocating to the south side, to where you're going to basically have a lounge and weight room, bike room, sort of all in one. There might be a little divider, whether that's a wall or, you know, whatever it might be, to sort of break up the lounge workout area. But that's all going to be one space for the players, and then the coaches are going to have their space on the north end of the locker room. So if you're coming in for a tour of PNC Arena, or you happen to run through the locker room during perhaps Skate with the Canes next year, you'll notice everything is going to look a bit different. And we'll be sure to keep you updated throughout these next 2 months as the crews continue to work down there and revamp what is the space in the Hurricanes locker room.
Yeah, so it's going to be, again, a good thing. We're excited about it. I know the players are going to be excited about it too, something to bring up. Something else to bring up, there's a new assistant coach for the Carolina Hurricanes, as Dean Chenault is going to be in charge of the defense, and I would imagine the penalty kill,
yes,
because that was the role he takes over for Steve Smith. People want to know, Steve Smith, what happened there? He had an offer, I believe, from the Buffalo Sabres. He used to play with Phil Housley in Calgary. So there's the tie. The head coach of the Sabres knows Steve Smith. They've got a young defenseman coming in that people think is going to be very good.
Yeah, let's some see. Guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there was some talk about him this summer.
Never heard of him.
Well, hopefully if you're in the Eastern Conference, you don't hear too much from him. But, no, Rasmus Dahlin, who is the number one overall pick, there was a vacancy to be the coach on the blue line for the Buffalo Sabres. Phil Housley tags one of his friends, asks if he would be interested, and here we are. And then the Canes move and bring in Chenault, who played for the New York Islanders, had an NHL playing career, and this is a guy who has a lot of coaching experience as a head coach, as an NHL assistant. So he's going to come in and try to run a pretty good, when you look at it, blue line from the personnel standpoint, Michael, because you know, I read the tweet mail that you put out, which tweet mail, I'm just saying, can we you get sponsored there? Can we get sponsors here?
Yeah, we you know, sponsors are always welcome.
Just doing what we can.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Yeah.
Just saying what we will. But you had a lot of questions about the crowded blue line. That's a pretty good dilemma to have if you're going to be an assistant coach coming into a team for the first time going, man, I have multiple pairings that I could put together and I can slot them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all of them I can throw over the boards at any point in time.
Yeah, it probably wasn't a tough sell for the Hurricanes when they approached Chenault, or however that, you know, that that hiring went down. It's probably not a tough sell to tell a guy, you know, you can come work with one of the best blue lines in the NHL, a lot of young talent, sort of shape that, get the penalty kill back to where it had been in previous years. Last year, it took a little dip. But the challenge to get that back into the top half, the top 10 of the league, even, I would imagine is very appealing. And for a guy like Chenault, who's, as you said, lots of coaching experience. He was last in the NHL with the New York Islanders, from 2009 to 2012. And as an assistant coach, has also coached in the American League and the Western Hockey League. So he's going to bring a fresh perspective to things. It never hurts to get a couple new eyeballs in on the situations that you have. You sort of get that with Jeff Daniels because he hasn't been involved at the level he is now. He was a pro scout for the team, and now he's coming in as an assistant coach. But Chenault is a total outsider, you know, compared to Daniels for this organization.
Yep.
So he gets – it's a chance to bring in a set of fresh eyes and a fresh perspective, along with a pretty impressive coaching resume in terms of the years that he's been involved in coaching. He's been involved in coaching for almost 20 years now. So he brings with him a lot of experience, probably a lot of opinions on how he might envision doing things. So it'll be interesting to get him in, get him meeting with the coaching staff, them talking through ideas, and then seeing all of it come to fruition in training camp, preseason, and of course the regular season.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to now. And I'm with you, Michael. Every now and again, it's good to bring in a fresh set of eyes and change some things up. And, you know, that's what the Canes have done this offseason. There's a lot of change. And I know that there is this resistance from some portions because, you know, well, why do we need to do this? Can't you just tinker that, or can't you just change this other part? You've got to, at some point in time, reevaluate what you've been doing and how do you get better. And to get players in this league, to get a guy like Dougie Hamilton, to bring in Michael Ferland, to get the rights to Adam Fox, you got to give up good players. You have to give something in return. You know, this isn't – I brought this up millions of times, and I'm fairly certain I'll bring it up a million more. It's not a video game where – we can trade the bottom guys and somehow dupe the video game into giving us the top guys.
That'd be nice, though.
That'd be wonderful. I mean, you try, but it doesn't work 90% of the time. And, you know, that's what the Canes are looking at. And I still don't think that they're done making changes. I just don't.
That was actually, I think, leads us nicely into our next segment.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
And I actually have something right off the bat.
I might actually leave the podcast right now. Episode 51.
We're changing things.
Surprise. All right.
If you like it, take it. If not, send it back. I completely forgot where I was going with that.
You had it, though.
I know. It'll come back to me.
All right. Do you want me to give you my like it, take
it?
No,
here it is. Okay. Yep. If you like it, take it. If not, send it back. The Hurricanes will make at least one more transaction this summer.
I'll take it.
Okay. I'm going to take it as well, yeah.
I mean, you've got options for what it could be. And I hate to do this because I hate rumor, innuendo, and speculation. I really do. But if you look at the numbers and you look at what's been out there this offseason, I have a hard time. And we've been asked this. How many times have we been asked this via Twitter or
It's the
wherever?
Question of the week.
I have a hard time thinking that Jeff Skinner and or Justin Falk will be on the Carolina Hurricanes opening night roster, because in the case of Justin Falk, it becomes a numbers game on the blue line, and you can trade a defenseman to help out your forward core if you feel you need help there. In the case of Jeff Skinner, we've just heard so much about this that it wouldn't shock me if something gets done. Summertime starts to quiet down after July 1st. After you get about a week out, you know, not a lot of deals get made. GMs, families go on vacation, kind of let people do that. But once we get to August, middle of August, players start coming into town, getting ready for training camp, getting ready for the preseason. That's when you can see it happen again. And I think that's where the Hurricanes will be. Because you know what you watch for now, Michael?
What's that?
You watch for guys who aren't happy with the contract.
Right. Or...
And you also get a suntan when you can.
Or you see teams who went through the process of the draft and free agency and still have some holes to fill. And that's when they start looking at their depth charts, the pieces they have, and start looking at other teams' depth charts and pieces they have and wondering if there is a deal to be made. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something happen before, even you said, training camp starting to kick up around that.
No, I'm saying when the players come back in August.
Okay, like, so like
you know,
late
not during
August,
training camp. It would happen.
I honestly wouldn't even be surprised if we saw something in the next 3 weeks or so. And I don't know anything.
That's, all right,
that
all
is
right.
A complete guesstimation.
I thought you were breaking the credo of the show.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
And nobody's told you?
No.
All right. Well, no. Good.
I'm the last to know, really.
Well, not true. That is, as we found out, there are times where I've been talking to people and 30 minutes later I find out. Yeah. Maybe shouldn't have asked that question.
Mm. So it just, like you laid out, I mean, those two names have risen to the top of discussions around the league. But at the same time, if one or both are on the Hurricanes roster come opening night, it's certainly not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
Because we know exactly what each of those players brings, both on and off the ice. So the main thing is the Hurricanes have options. You know, their hands are not tied in either case. In Jeff Skinner's case...
Let me jump in and correct that on one thing, and I hate to say correct that. The Canes' hands are tied where they just can't move them anywhere. The players both have
true.
No trade clauses. But doesn't mean they can't move them. That's all I'm saying. It just means that not every deal is on the table for Carolina, because the players have to now agree. If you've got a no-movement clause, you have to agree to where they're going to trade you.
And with Jeff Skinner, who has a year remaining on his contract and will then become an unrestricted free agent, I'm sure the Hurricanes are looking at what happened with the Islanders and John Tavares and not wanting to go through that same experience where the Islanders lose one of the best forwards in the NHL for nothing, when perhaps there was an opportunity to make a move at the deadline or the summer prior. The Hurricanes probably don't want to go through that. They were able to avoid that happening with their Eric Staal trade, which of course brought Valentin Zhukov and some picks back in return.
Alexei Sarala.
Yes.
Zhukov
that wasn't
came from
Zhukov.
LA.
You're correct. That was Alexei Sarala. Sarala-la-la.
I've heard all of them.
And some picks. And that that's something the Hurricanes would prefer doing, other than, you know, letting Jeff Skinner potentially walk.
That's the other part of, like, when you ask me to, like, it, take it, why I take it, because I don't think the Canes are just going to let Jeff Skinner walk away without getting anything for it if they feel they can't get a contract signed.
With Justin Falk, there's a bit more wiggle room because he has 2 years left on his contract. That probably nets you more of a return at this point, just because of the money remaining on his contract and the term and dollar amount. If you're a team looking at the type of player that Justin Falk is completely acceptable. It would be preferable, even, I think, for a team looking at a piece like that. So, some options for the Hurricanes. I don't think they're under any pressure to make a move.
Nope.
They've got time on their side, but I wouldn't be surprised if a move is made.
Oh, you said it best.
So I'll take it.
You said it best. If they come into the season and Justin Falk and Jeff Skinner are on this roster, that's not a bad thing. It's not. You know, I just talked with Sebastian Aho. He's not going to be unhappy to see those guys in the locker room because they can play. We're going to be, if you go to CarolinaHurricanes.com, for the rest of the summer, we're going to be releasing interviews with players and then media members from around the league who cover the NHL at the national level, getting their take on what the Canes have done this offseason, what more is coming. One of those, here's a tease here on the CanesCast. I talked with Mike Morial from NHL.com, and he brought up the situation of Jeff Skinner and Justin Falk and basically said what you just said. You know, you got a goal scorer here and a defenseman who people really like. It's not necessarily a bad thing if you don't trade them, even though those rumors are there that they're on your roster come opening night. And, okay, let's do this. Let's take off the cane suit that we wear for a minute and just look at this is Hockey Team X. I don't think that there would be anything wrong that if you go into a season and you have these players and they start playing well, but maybe the wins aren't there, well, now you can move one of them for something that you need. Or you have them, and they're playing well. This is a team that has not, a franchise that has not seen the postseason in 9 years. So instead of going out and trading for a goal scorer, you have the goal scorer on your team.
Right.
You have the other defenseman on your team. So I think it's actually a good dilemma to be in. Now, I'm not a fan of letting things drag out, but that's today's day and age.
Yeah.
With 24-hour sports media coverage and Twitter and Instagram and everything, there's no respite from it. There's no, okay, I'm going to get away from it for 5 minutes, because Michael Smith can tell you, when we're on the road and there's a rumor around the team, the second we're around other members of the media or other teams' broadcasters, they don't hold back. So is this guy getting traded? Because we keep hearing it. And if we're getting it, you know that the players are getting it too. So that's where it's at. But I'm with you. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good situation. And more importantly, Michael Smith had a, if you like it, take it.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. Really.
I am honestly, my jaw is on the floor that actually happened. I am so proud, Michael Smith.
And Zikov was the return for the Chris Versteeg trade at a trade deadline in 2016.
Yeah. So,
wrong team. Completely wrong team.
That's all right. That's why two of us are here.
All these deadline deals start to blend together after a while.
Yes, they do. But that's why we're here. We're dotting I's and lowercase I's.
How was Montreal?
It was fantastic.
That's why we're coming to you, listeners, on a Thursday or whenever you happen to listen this, instead of our usual Monday. Mr. Mike Maniscalco, TV's Mike Maniscalco.
Thank you.
Was in Montreal,
La Belle Provence,
for a musical performance.
Oh yeah, get to that in a second. I have a like it, take it if you want to get to
okay,
it.
Sure.
And it involves uniforms.
Ooh.
As you know, the Canes had a good bit of success in their alternates before.
Yes.
Like, there was something that I should have written down the number, but the winning percentage was like 650. Like, yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
Will that continue in the new third jersey that will hit the ice this year that we've seen? And Michael, why don't we know the exact second, what days, and how many games are they wearing the black jersey?
Those days are coming very soon.
Thank you.
The dates have been finalized. The schedule's set. You'll see it very soon. I do think it's going to continue. I think the team unveiled the first iteration of the black jersey in the 08-09 season.
So let me phrase this the right way.
Okay.
If you like it, you can take it. If not, the Carolina Hurricanes this season will have a .650 winning percentage in those jerseys.
So that's like the over-under, really. Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
They'll be basically well above .500 in those jerseys.
I mean, you know, if the pattern is to follow, the 08-09 season was the first season in the black uniforms, the first iteration.
Yep.
Did pretty well, made the playoffs, 2018-19.
Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Could happen.
I think we're both taking it right
Could
there.
Happen. The Hurricanes have been a good home team. Even throughout these years of not making the playoffs, the Hurricanes haven't been that bad at home. I think the Hurricanes are going to be better this year. So, yeah, I see no reason why that record can't be pretty good.
Yeah. I can ask another fashion question. I know you and I are fans of it. I'll bring it up again. I would like to see teams that have opposite colors, like red and blue, play games wearing those jerseys.
Yeah, like preseason here last year with the Hurricanes and Lightning. I was a fan.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, and then I liked it. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's good. That's a good look. That's sharp. So.
I would definitely be in favor of that. It would have to work out, you know, to where the road team was just playing one game, so they could only bring one set of equipment, but totally all for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing the Canes, you know, wear the third jersey on the road against, and then you can take your pick. Probably against a team that wears red. That would be the one that would probably stand out better. So if we're going to run down the list, you're looking at teams like Calgary, you're looking Washington, things like that, but just switch that up a little bit. We got a question from the Twitterverse out here. This is from Josh Holdner. Which Canes acquisition are you most excited to watch play this year? I'm going to let you go because you had a like it, take it, and I'm still shocked for that.
Hmm.
And there was no crowd noise only when that happened. I'm giving you the first because I know who I'm excited to see. There's an obvious one for Andrei Svechnikov. I think that we could say that for the number two overall pick. But for acquisitions, I want to rule Svechnikov away from that because the Canes picked him.
Yeah, I wasn't even considering him. So. Calvin DeHaan intrigues me. Not because he's not going to – Dougie Hamilton's going to come in and be expected to be that offensive force on the blue line. He's going to be on the power play. Hopefully, again, he leads NHL defensemen in goal scoring.
That would be nice.
But Calvin DeHaan isn't going to be that type of player. He's going to come in and be counted on to be reliable and steady and just be responsible in his own end. And so to have a guy like that back there who is, you know, who was among the top of the free agents available, who was so highly sought after, I'm excited to see him play.
For me, it's funny because I almost want to say they're the same, but they're not. But the grittiness, the toughness that Jordan Martinook and Michael Ferland are going to bring to the team, I'm just going to lean, when you say excited, I'm going to lean to Ferland because he scored 21 goals.
Right.
And he plays a really tough kind of game that this organization wants to see. So I'm excited for Ferland.
Yeah.
And seeing what he's going to bring to the surface here at PNC.
And there's a lot of potential there, too, in terms of, as you mentioned, his career year that he had last year. How can he follow that up?
Yep.
And can he, you know, consistently provide that offensive production? Because if he can do that, mixed with that type of game that he plays, that's exactly what the Hurricanes are looking for, and is only going to make that trade look even better.
Yep. So there you have it. That's where we're set. I'm good. Now, do you want me to tell you about Montreal?
Let's talk about Montreal real quick.
All right, you want to talk about the show, or do you want to talk about – because next week there's not going to be a Canes cast.
There isn't.
I'm traveling. I'm going to be in three cities next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
A world traveler.
Lots of travel. Like to travel.
You go everywhere, man.
I go everywhere. Thank you.
Yeah. And this will happen in the summer.
I almost was going to keep singing the cities, too, but I wasn't going to do it, buddy. No, I went to Montreal because a good friend of mine had procured tickets to go see Radiohead. So if you're ready for this story, you know, it's a podcast, so buckle up.
Well, and it's the end, so.
Yeah, so 17 years ago, I was supposed to see Radiohead. They were playing in Bull Run, and it was an outdoor venue. And this is, think about it, 17 years ago, didn't really have cell phones, had the internet, but not really to where it's like lightning fast and information was there.
People were just glad that computers survived the switch to year 2000.
Exactly. That's where we're at. So Radiohead's playing this show in Bull Run, and it's my friends. Think about this. I had friends from Western New York come down, stay with us. I was living in Virginia. My wife and I, we weren't even married yet. My wife.
Oh, so
was
she wasn't.
My fiance. Yeah. my wife. All good. And so we weren't even married yet going to the show. And we knew the night before there was a lot of rain. And that was it. So we're driving up and it's got those blinking signs on, you know, the ones that are now overhead. And it says Radiohead. And everybody in the car is like, yeah, canceled. No.
No.
The stage sunk into the ground because it was canceled. Like, the official reason was act of God. Canceled the show.
Jeez.
There was so much rain, it flooded out the area, and it just couldn't hold it anymore, so the stage sunk, and then that was it, and so they canceled the shows. So there were no shows. And for whatever reason, like, Radiohead didn't really tour a lot for the next 17 years. Or if they did, I couldn't go, or my wife couldn't go, because of our schedules. And finally, it just worked out where we could go. My wife, you do it way better than I do.
My wife.
Thank you. Had never been to Montreal. Mm. My buddies who live in Ottawa got tickets in Montreal. We went up and enjoyed Montreal.
And
I have so many spots for us to go eat now. It's ridiculous.
Because we always visit Montreal in the winter when it's freezing cold and icicles form on your beard. And
Montreal,
it's
in the summertime.
That's what I've heard.
C'est magnifique.
Did you go to Barbie Barn or Rubens, two of our favorite spots?
We went to Rubens. We found out something. We walked into Barbie Barn for lunch, and we had had a big meal the night before. And my wife did not want to eat a plate of ribs.
Right.
And not you really don't have too many options at Barbie Barn.
Whole hog or half hog, really.
So we were going to – like, I'm like, well, what if we like just like split one? Well, no, you both have to, because we were going to go, and it was warm out. So we were just going to go and stop in for a beverage. Because they're a restaurant, not a bar, they can't just serve you a beverage. You have to get food. So we had to sadly leave. But we did go to Rubens.
Rubens is a good spot.
But I need to...
But you have more spots.
Oh, I need to show you a picture for reference. This will be the first time Michael Smith, I think, will be seeing this in person.
This will be the first time our video viewers will see this too, for the video version of the podcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's...
amazing.
That looks delicious.
That is a smoked meat sandwich from Schwartz's.
Yeah, just to paint a picture here, there was just a smoked meat sandwich about the size of a human fist, I would say.
No, that's bigger than my fist, because that's my fist holding it.
So larger than Mike TV's Mike Maniscalco's fist.
And I have some big mitts.
And it's just all meat. And a little bread.
A little bread, a little mustard.
A little mustard, but mostly meat.
And it is supposedly, people now, it's, how I went off on the rant about stop ruining Star Wars nerds? Mm-hmm. People are starting to ruin food because they're doing you can go to Schwartz's, but the tourists go there. Well, there's a reason why the tourists go there. It's good.
Sure. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
That sandwich was amazing, Michael.
It looks
so
really tasty.
If we have the time, we are going to go.
That's fair.
That's going to happen. Rubens was great. My wife loved going to Rubens.
It's
very good.
The business lunch.
But there's nothing but festivals going on in Montreal in the summertime. Because the Jazz Festival just ended, but the Just for Laughs Festival, which you should go up for.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would love to.
It was just starting. None of the big acts are in yet. So if you're listening to Kane's Cast episode 51, and it is July, I believe, right now. I think I got to wind my
July
watch.
19th.
July 19th, yes, that's right. So... the bigger acts are starting to come in. When I say the bigger acts, name them. Ken Jeong, Dave Cross. I mean, just huge names.
Yeah.
Dom Herrera, I don't know if you know the comedian, in the elevator at our hotel. I knew him right away. Started talking to him. And I think he thought I was a comic. Because he goes, you going to go play?
He might have thought you were your cousin.
Oh, Sebastian.
Yeah, Sebastian.
My cousin, not my cousin. Let's not spread that rumor out there. Although I was asked that three times up in Montreal.
Well, it is that time of year.
I have to ask, are you related? May know, but no, I am not.
You should make up a story, an elaborate story.
I've interviewed him. We know we've we are known to each other. And I did research. I asked my dad, and he asked one of his family members, and it turns out, like, we have a cousin in common, which is like, that makes us nothing. So
there's got to be a baseball team going back to Montreal eventually, right?
I would hope so.
I mean, it's too good of a town, especially during the summer.
Michael, you love comedy. Go up for the Just for Laughs Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. They put foie gras on everything up there. Delicious for me. A lot of people don't care for it. That's fine. I understand. I wish they could treat the ducks more humanely. So we'll get that out of the way for the PETA people. But it is what it is. No, and I'm serious when I say that, but it's delicious. So I'm kind of, you know, on the two fences of that. I wish there was a better way, but it's enjoyable. I found another place for us to go to. And if you are going to Montreal, people, it's called Pub Brewski. It's in Old Montreal.
Sounds perfect.
They make their own hops, malt beverages.
Do they serve brewskis?
They do. Hence their own hops and malt beverages, yes, with some barley. And they have awesome food. Awesome. It was fantastic. Had lunch there my last day, and it was not very far from where we like to stay.
Perfect.
Exactly. So we could get there about a 15-minute walk.
Montreal is a
beautiful city to walk to in the summertime.
Yeah. You can walk in the winter, but it's a little colder.
A little blistering cold happens. Yep. So,
a little cold.
I did not get up to Mont Royal, but will next time. So left some things on the table. But so many good times. And then Radiohead played, and it was the best sounding show I've ever been to in my life. So to wrap it all up, took 17 years, got to finally see them at Centre Bell. That's the Bell Center for the rest of the world. But, you know, they have to put an R before the E, except after C. Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. And anyway, went there, floor tickets. It was a mellow
show.
Well,
that's good, because the staircases are steep, as you well know.
Oh, I am. You can't leave that one out there. Feel free to tell them 2 years ago what happened to me at the old...
Well, it was, what, practice day, right?
Yes, it was.
And the steps there...
It might have been morning skate.
Morning skate. Not only are the steps steep, but some of them are also thinner than others. And you have large feet, large shoes.
I want to know the building codes in Montreal.
And, yeah, you took a step and...
Over tea kettle.
Yep.
It happened.
Just a little tumble.
It was great because it wasn't really a tumble as much as a fall. And yeah. And the guard was great because he goes, oh, we have it all on film. Uh-huh.
Did you ever see it?
No, I did not. But they have it. Oh, I think they said they keep a blooper reel.
Oh,
so
I'm sure they do.
Sure, I'm sure that's
it. They probably show all the new employees. Like, here, look at all these people falling down our stairs.
And if I could, there was a member of the Kane staff who you'd think would have been concerned, but was laughing.
Yeah, just immediately, not
immediately
even.
Laughing. Well, because as soon as my head popped up and I wasn't cut and nothing looked broke, and I looked around, I went, no, I'm, and the laughter ensued, as well it should have. But, yeah, we're on the floor. It's a great show. I recommend it. Radiohead mixes up their sets, too. They don't play the same show, like, night after night. They'll play, like, four or five songs. They're touring a new album. So, like, the first four songs are new. And then they'll play some old stuff, and it just depends on what night of the show you go. Do they go, like, way back, or, you know, go back into, like, the mid-2000s? So
perfect.
We got the mellower of the two shows because I looked at the set list the next night. So this is a different question, though, because you're a music guy, too.
Okay.
If you were going to go see a band you hadn't seen, would you rather go to a show that was – it was a great show, but – they didn't play all of the songs that you wanted. You know what I mean? Because we're selfish. They didn't play this song. You know, they haven't played that song in 23 years. So, but I was the first time seeing them. They sound great. It's a great show. But they only play a couple of songs that you wanted to see. Or you go and it's an okay show, but they played, you know, more songs that you know and wanted to hear.
I'll take the first one.
Yeah.
That's because I think if it's a really good show and everything sounds great, you know, they're on point musically. It's good. You can appreciate that more than you just appreciate hearing the songs that you want to hear.
And that's what I had to do because, you know, you go and you check the set lists.
Yeah.
And if you're music fans, you can find the set lists now everywhere for every band. And there were two songs where I'm like, oh, man, I would have loved to have seen those live. But then I look back and I'm like, yeah, but you know what? I really wanted to see these two songs live. And I saw them. They didn't play those the next night. So it comes out in the wash.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And at the end of the day, you had fun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why this Kane's Cast is coming to you later in the week.
That's right. And this can hopefully sustain you through next week, as there will not be a Kane's Cast.
Yes, we will come back to you Then on, I believe it's going to be, it's still July then, July 30th will be the date.
Probably the 31st.
Probably the 31st.
Not sure, because I'm going to go see the more music for me. The summer of music, the summer of Mike.
Wow, the summer of Mike continues.
It does. I'm just going to see Dave Grohl has a band. I don't know if you know him.
No.
He used to drum in
was
a band
like
when
on
I was
American
in college.
Idol or something?
No, no. Oh. He was a drummer in a band. Like I think they were from Seattle when I was in college.
Oh.
And then that band, they're not making music anymore. And he started his own band.
Are they like just started? Like up
no,
and coming?
No, it's
or?
Like they've been around. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're called the Foo Fighters.
Mm.
Kind
no.
of indie.
Mm, yeah.
No, not sure. No, okay. gonna go see the Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty good.
Yep, and our tickets are on the field. So I have been in the course of 2 weeks, I have been on the playing surface, even though it wasn't ice, but where the ice is laid down for the Montreal Canadiens, and I will be on the field at Wrigley. And Dave Grohl will be singing. I've seen Tom York and Dave Grohl.
The summer of Mike.
Weeks. It continues.
It continues. And that's why the podcasts are a bit more scattered in the summer, because we get away from things for a bit, and there'll be some more breaks during August, but we'll do our best to keep you up to date so you know.
Like if you
want to
do one next week, if you can get a guest, I mean, if you want to keep it rolling.
I think it would be boring for me to just sit here and talk to myself.
No, get a guest. Bring in a guest host. We can do that.
Just, probably not.
Shane Willis is basically a full-fledged member of this show now.
He's the only repeat guest we've
only
had.
Only repeat
to
guest.
To date.
So.
We'll have to we'll have to
apologize because I was going to. I was going to call the Super Friday games on July 27th for Shane and what he does with the great Carolina Hurricanes youth hockey programs here. I will not be calling those games. I'll be calling the games on August 3rd for him, though.
There you go.
So we'll be all set.
Well, we'll do our best to keep you guys updated so you know when you're going to hear the next episode of Canes Cast. We don't want to leave you on too much of a cliffhanger.
And if you want to know more about where to go for food in Montreal, who has the better bagels, St. Viateur or Fairmont? You can send the Twitter questions. I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Yeah.
Because they're known for their bagels. I can't believe you and I haven't gone out for bagels in Montreal.
Haven't. We haven't even done that in New York City.
No, we haven't. But which, I've done New York City bagels,
yeah,
too.
I have, too. I mean, they're really good.
Oh,
we should probably do that.
Montreal bagels, they're different, and I understand why they're different, and I get it, and it's one of those things. And it's not a New York-style pizza to Chicago deep dish kind of deal. They're both different. They're both outstanding in their own ways. Montreal bagels a little sweeter, a little lighter. New York bagels are awesome.
Yeah.
So either way, if you like bagels, go to both those cities and enjoy them.
Perfect.
That's it. I think that's how we can end episode 51 of the Canes Cast.
Bagel talk.
Done. Hopefully the Canes goaltenders and defense will put up a lot of bagels this year. Oh!
Brings it all
just
home.
Just tie it all home.
That's what makes you a professional.
Well, let's not go too crazy because you're the Web's Michael Smith. And you belong to everyone.
Oh, well, to the internet.
Exactly, which is forever.
And TV is going to be forever too, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. What's going to like holographic things that you just get installed
totally
in your eyeballs.
Black Mirror. Get phased out when that'll happen. Oh, that's right. You watched that.
Yeah, Black Mirror or something.
By the way, I need to ask this.
Okay.
Can I pull off the Peaky Blinders haircut or no?
Yes, for sure. And I think if you can, I think you should because it's an awesome haircut.
I would love to, but Cillian Murphy's got a small head and I got a big head, so that could be different.
Yeah, but pretty much every character on that show has some sort of version of that haircut, and it works.
All right.
It works. It looks great.
Any TV shows worth watching?
Avoid Goliath Season 2. It's garbage.
Oh, man.
It's garbage.
I was planning on watching that to get through August.
Everything that made Goliath Season 1 great television, the gripping nature of the courtroom drama, Billy Bob Thornton is great, and he's great in season two too. The acting in season two is perfectly fine, but the writing and the story and what the show becomes, terrible.
Oh man,
avoid it.
Well, I'll just have to wait till August for Jack Ryan.
I think I've given two scathing negative reviews of film and TV the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you hated Three Billboards, which
we'll bring it back with something positive.
I gave a positive review of Radiohead.
That's true.
It is, by the way, that is a show that will change. Like when you go see it, if you've never seen a show where the music plays in harmony in concert with the light show that they put on behind it, and it was the best sounding show I've ever been at in my life. It was a technically perfect sound. Technically perfect. Like you could hear every instrument, what they were supposed to do, what they were doing. See, I got the evil backwash of your scathing reviews out of this Canes cache.
That's great.
And replaced it with some, you know, a little bit of positivity in this world.
That's good. And that's
no
what
surprises.
We need.
Everything in its right place. By the way, Mo,
the
thank you very much for giving me there.
Is love.
Sweet love. I quoted two Radiohead shows and or songs, and you go Burt Bacharach. All applicable.
Yes.
To the Canes cast.
All applicable.
And we're all things to all people. And if you made it this far,
God
thank
bless
you. You are the people who rate us five stars. And if you have a podcast and you made it this far, we'll log on and rate you five stars.
Yes.
It's a deal.
Like a trade.
It's a reciprocal agreement.
Yeah. We're not bribing you.
No.
It's just a one-for-one
agreement. Well, having worked in the college radio broadcast field at a Division III school, you do the reciprocal. Like, if you let us broadcast and use your phone line this year, next year you can come and use ours.
Perfect.
Reciprocal.
Love the agreement. Five stars.
Done.
Please.
Exactly.
We love you forever.
We do. Love the reviews. You guys are too kind. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this episode. We're getting into now murky territory.
We've ventured way off course.
I need to watch Peaky Blinders. I've never watched an episode
of
that, by the way.
Well, that's – I can give you a perfectly glowing review of Peaky Blinders. It's – tremendous.
All right, that's good.
Everybody go watch it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's funny because you said that about Goliath, and I was just thinking the new season of Bosch was good up until the last three episodes, and I got into that show, and I'm like,
Amazon shows, for whatever reason, haven't had the staying power that other streaming services shows, and by other streaming services, I mean Netflix, have, for whatever reason. And I don't know. There was a lot of creative turmoil I read about between Goliath season one and season two, and that I think obviously had something to do with it, but it's no good. Yeah. Go watch Peaky Blinders instead.
Yeah. Bringing it back to hockey, you need to have harmony, symmetry, chemistry, and hopefully that's what the new Canes locker room will do. Now we really tie it all
that's
together.
That's complete full circle.
And that's how I ended. That's how I have been dubbed.
It's like the Lion King.
That's how I've been dubbed the TV side of things. For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We'll talk to you in about a week or so, week and a half. Won't be that long.
Week and a half.
We'll be right back.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.